I bet this sheet will make you feel like you're the only one. I'll hold you through the night until you see the crack of dawn. And you'll try to pretend you don't know where I'm coming from. Don't play dumb, don't be dumb. I know you're wondering why she don't ride like me. She don't fight like me. She don't kiss like this. When she swings, she misses. She's so between the queen and the peasant. I'll be putting in work, I swear her love is lazy. Hit that skirt, hit that skirt while we rock. I'll be riding drop top and I eat her on the spot. Guess she learned what was hard either way, so don't know what there's left to say. Oh, bet that she don't. You're the only one. Hold you through the night until you see the crack of dawn. You try to pretend you don't know where I'm coming from. Don't play dumb, don't be dumb. I know you're wondering why she don't ride like me. She don't fight like me. She don't kiss like this. When she swings, she misses.
My show, Bree TV, is now on the After Party every Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. on the B-side. Tune in and call in so we can talk about everything from relationships, religion, politics, sex, travel, or gardening. Remember, Bree TV every Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. on the After Party. See you at the party.
Get on your social media and post. Hashtag follow me too at THA After Party. For real topics, real hosts, streaming 24/7. For real people. Meet me there, or be square as alien pubic hair.
See you at the party.
Great music, check. Topics that get you going, check. Support for mainstream as well as local and independent artists worldwide. Check. Global community involvement. Check. Find your party 24/7 at thaafterparty.com.
See you at the party.
Yeah. down for. 'Cause when I look at you, I feel something tell me that you're the kind of guy that I should make a move on.
I get exotic with the melodic tune. I get hypnotic with the moon, but you got to put me down soon. I flip a sideshow if you come my way. Up, down, and around, even sideways. I'm about as ready as the light can get. We can go all out. I ain't afraid of the sweat, but yet. I bet you got the techniques to freak a girl inside out. What's that all about? Can I have some of that? You gotta put me on. Word around town is your 9 men strong. I wanna be put on in the worst way. Since the first day, I think it was a Thursday. You be that brother that I wanna sink my teeth in. Make me wanna ask, where the hell you been? I like the way you be with all that personality. But I got flavor too, you need to come with me. Every day, new clothes. Look at the cut coupon. Oh, three got the heat so fluffy. Slang it tatty. This tub is more than 20 ducats. Struck it. Kinda rich, now his pockets looking straight. Slam the D's on the benzo. Pancake by the gate. Mom looking straight with her ass. She got great. Lounging in her new home that's about to stay. I'll be your cornmeal motel. You can get it when you want it. Even though you got chicks all up on it. Don't matter, 'cause brother, you fly. I can't lie. Macking daddy from the corner of my eye. Now, baby, bring it on. Don't be frontin' on your baby boo. All I wanna know is what's up with you. How can I get with you? Seems like you got a hold on me. It must be voodoo, 'cause baby, I want you. About 8'4", about so big, about so small, about this length, about this width, about this flow, about this gift, instinct leading me right up your alleyway, skip the Moet, let's chill with some Alizé, enough stress in our day, let me massage your mind as my mental starts to play. A ghetto sauce you are, and I'll be your sexual chocolate ball. And I gotta keep strong for the cause, and you gotta keep me strong for the tours. Brother, man, and me, damn the family. What else could we be with no one understands us but me? You were the first to change me. Big T, I'm out.
Hey, 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 welcome to Bree TV. It is Wednesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. on theafterparty.com. Or if you're on Facebook, check us out at bre.tv.2016. That's Bree TV. Or you can look at Ask Bree. We'll be live on Facebook. I think we are now. But you can check us out at Ask Bree if you have a question for me. I am, we're doing our first Black Women's Roundtable tonight. You know, last week we did the Black Men and I thought it went pretty well. Tonight we're doing the Black Chicks or Black Women's Roundtable. But before we get everybody else in studio, what I am going to do is start off with a very old friend, a longtime friend of mine, Ms. Shalonda Celestine. We're going to talk about a few things that she's got going on and we're going to take a break. Come back, talk to Shalonda, and then we're going to bring the other people in studio with us, and then we're going to get this heated up with this Black Women's Roundtable. Okay? Anybody got any questions? 214-717-4827.
to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring breath to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down a block. I had my cut off shorts on right, cause it was crazy hot. I walked past these dudes when they passed me. One of them felt my booty, he was nasty. I turned around red, somebody was catching the wrath. Then the little one said,
yeah, me bitch.
And laughed. Since he was with his boys, he tried to break fly. I punched him dead in his eyes, said,
who you calling me,
girl? I guess I fell so deep in love, I grew dependency. I was too blind to see just how it was affecting me. All that I knew is you was all the man I had. And I was scared to let you go, even though you treated me bad. But I don't wanna see my kids see me getting beat down by daddy smacking mommy all around. You say I'm nothing without you, but I'm nothing with you. A man don't really love you if he hits you. This is my notice to the tool, I'm not taking it no more. I'm not your personal whore, that's not what I'm here for. Ain't nothing good gon' come to you till you do right by me. Brother, you wait.
Who you calling a bitch?
Now that you saw Apache's video, I saw you wildin', acting like a fool. I peeped you out the window, jumping girls after school. But where did all of this come from? A minute ago, you wasn't heard, and nobody ever heard of you. Now you a wannabe. You barely know your ABC. Please. There's plenty of people out there with triggers ready to pull it. Why you trying to jump in front of the bullet, young lady? And real bad girls are the silent type. Yeah. Ain't none of this worth getting your face sliced, cause that's what happened to your homegirl, right? She got to wear that for life. Who you calling a bitch?
Okay. We are back. I am in studio with Ms. Shalonda Celestine of Terrell Company for Cause and Community. Howdy, ma'am.
Hello.
Let's see. I'm going to ask you a couple things and then kind of let you go with it because I'm sure you can do this.
All right.
The company, Terrell Companies for Cause and Community.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is it?
We are an organization that collects and donates socks to homeless shelters, whether local. We also collect and donate for Kansas City as well, so not just Texas. But after our collection and donation season, we seem to also support any natural disaster issues that come about. Mm-hmm. As of right now, we're supporting the New Orleans tornado relief efforts. So outside of socks, just kind of wherever we're needed, we go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you are sending things. You're collecting and sending things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know this is going to turn, it's going to become national, right? It hasn't already.
That's what we would like. Yeah, that is our goal.
Okay. Let's see if we can do something about that.
Yeah, that is our goal.
Okay. How did this get started?
Well, it got started. I started out volunteering for another organization that collects and donates sanitary supplies to battered women's shelters. Okay. So while that was going on, I saw a post on Facebook that said that socks were the least donated items to homeless shelter. So that intrigued me because you can buy a pair of socks for $1. So I'm like, that should not be. And I didn't see the post again. Talked to a girlfriend of mine and found out later on that she was the one who posted the picture. And I said, that's my sign. So I waited a little while, and I said, you know what, I'm going to step out on faith. Did my research, looked it up, and socks were the least donated item. And that's how we got started.
Okay. And what are the goals of your organization?
The goal is to make sure that all homeless shelters have this item. Right now, this last donating effort, we donated a close to 5,000 pairs of socks.
So when you donate them to it, mm-hmm. do you donate to multiple shelters?
Well, that's our goal. We try to. Right now, we just do Dallas and Fort Worth. Those are the two main shelters that we kind of focus on right okay. now.
Mm-hmm. They're the larger two?
They're the larger two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw your post on Facebook mm-hmm. A while back about donating the sanitary napkins for women.
Right.
Which a lot of times what I think is great about social media mm-hmm. is that there are things that you may not ever think about that when it comes through your news feed, you're like, mm-hmm. well, I didn't think about that.
Right.
Because, I mean, honestly, you take it for granted if mm-hmm. you are stable enough, I guess.
Right.
You know,
you don't think about
you're it. You're of age, you have a cycle.
Right.
Imagine if you had you did not have sanitary napkins
right.
or tampons, whatever right. it is that you use.
Exactly.
Imagine if you didn't have that. That's amazing. And mm-hmm. to already be a woman and be in a position to be homeless.
Right. Exactly.
That's enough stress.
That's enough.
And then to have to deal with, okay, once a month,
right.
this is coming.
Yep.
And, you know, how do you do? How mm-hmm. do you deal with this? How do you get it taken care of?
Right.
And I thought then that I wanted to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't quite sure how to do it. And right. I, even though I looked, because what I think I asked you about it.
Yeah,
about
you did.
The
you
Diva
did.
Cup.
You did.
Because it's something I find a lot of times that people in general and black people in particular mm-hmm. don't expect black people to be forward thinking.
Exactly.
They don't expect us to think about the planet and mm-hmm. different things. I tell most everything anyway, but right. I use a Diva Cup.
Right.
And I started that because I realized, I was reading online and they were mm-hmm. saying that, you know, when you go into landfills, there's certain things that are in abundance in landfills.
That's right.
And feminine hygiene products are one of those things.
Right, exactly.
And they are just there. And, I mean, obviously, women have cycles.
Right.
So you're not going to stop the cycle.
That's
the
right.
cycle's going to come.
That's right.
So then you have to determine how you're going to deal
mm-hmm,
with it.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, I was like, you know what, let me look into a couple of things. And
right.
I did, I can't think of what the other one was. It's a little ring, like a little cup on a little
mm-hmm.
ring that you can pinch.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, this is kind of okay. But I went to the Diva,
mm-hmm,
which
mm-hmm.
I think is flipping.
And I had never heard of that when you mentioned it. I was like, wow, a Diva cup.
Yeah,
I had never heard of it.
It's amazing.
Wow.
I know you men are all sick to your stomach, but we watch erectile dysfunction commercials, so get on
over
it. But I was like, you know what? Let me see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this is something that I could do.
Right.
And then I kind of got wound up doing whatever mm-hmm. and it got away from me. But I always felt like, okay, you know what? There's something that I would be able to do that
right.
I should be able to do.
Right.
I think this is the something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
There is a need for that. And that organization is called Texas Giving Hope and Help, which started out of Kansas City as Giving Hope and Help. A young lady by the name of Jessica McClellan runs that organization. Beautiful, beautiful woman. So that's how we got started with that. So she has really inspired me.
A McClellan from the McClellan Boys, McClellan?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah. She's married to Kevin.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I see them online.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I have found that with Facebook, there are a lot of people that I, grade school,
mm-hmm.
junior
oh, of
high
course.
School.
Yeah.
You know, you went to the school that everybody in your neighborhood
mm-hmm,
went to.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe they split up and went to this grade school, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Well, time for high school, I went to Hogan.
Right.
And so everybody that I had gone to school with, for the most part, was still in public school.
Right.
So there are people that I know that I didn't necessarily have a lot of contact
That's
with.
That's right.
I knew who the McClellans were.
Right.
Obviously. You know,
yeah.
I'd see them around, you know,
uh-huh.
so I knew who they were. But
right.
that's what I'm like, okay, wait
yeah,
a second.
Yeah, she's married.
Wait, okay.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
So that's kind of how I got started because she really inspired me to really do this whole thing. It was like, girl, I don't know what you did, but you did something and planted that seed and we've been going ever
and
since.
And it speaks to who you are as a person.
Yeah.
It speaks to who you are
mm-hmm.
as a person.
It comes from the heart.
It is... Like I said, with a lot of times black people don't think about themselves or other black people being concerned about the environment.
That's right.
Or concerned about whatever. Lots of
beings.
Yeah, uh-huh. they it comes out of a lot of different that thing comes out of a lot of different places, mm-hmm. or from a lot of mm-hmm. different places.
That's right.
With people.
That's
so
right.
For me, like I said, with the feminine hygiene mm-hmm. issue, mine was like, okay, I need to figure out how I can do diva cups or,
right.
you know, get something situated so we can stop this uh-huh. on
right.
the back end of
mm-hmm.
it.
I see what you mean.
Yeah, and when I was asking you that, I was like, this is really interesting mm-hmm. that people... I think that when people see people that are homeless, that are down on their luck, I think the first thing that they assume is that somehow, or maybe not, I think a lot of people assume, well, first, which drives me up the wall, because somebody ran a documentary in mm-hmm. 92 uh-huh. that was about a homeless dude or supposedly homeless.
Right.
And he would, you know, stand outside and collect his money and then go get in a Benz or whatever
right.
and go home. So now all of a sudden, everybody's running game. And I'm like, that's not even possible.
But that, and that's not for us to judge.
Right. Because my deal is, I don't really care what you do with
that's
it.
That's right.
I, as far as I'm concerned, mm-hmm. if you stand on the street for 8 hours a day uh-huh. in Texas,
mm-hmm.
that's a job.
That is, that's a job.
That's a goddamn job to
yeah.
me because it's
mm-hmm.
hot. Everybody
that's
else
right.
that work in the air,
yeah,
that is a job.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care if you make $300
right.
a day doing that. That's
mm-hmm.
not. I don't care what you do to make your money
that's
in
right.
that regard. It's the same to me as people who talk bad about strippers.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Well, they make all the money. First of all, they don't all make all the money. That's stupid. But then
right.
secondly, so what if they do?
That's right. That's
so what if they do? If you don't, if you can't do that hustle,
mm-hmm.
then don't knock the hustle.
That's right. That's right.
You don't
right.
want to give them no money? Don't give them no money. But
that's
don't worry
right.
about what anybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before I get carried away, because I'm about to go. I need... upcoming events, past events,
past
if you have
events.
Any.
Okay.
And then upcoming events or where they can reach you.
Okay. Well, our first event was, it was here in Dallas. I believe it was the first Christmas before New Year's Eve in 2015. That was our first event. We collected socks. I think the numbers for the first event was around maybe 2,500. Mm-hmm. And then we did a drive in Kansas City, New Year's Eve. At one of my dad's parties. He gives parties on New Year's Eve. So we collected then. The numbers were a little bit better. So it's like every year the numbers get larger. So we did one past New Year's Eve. The numbers, actually, we're still collecting in Kansas City. So we're going to collect in Kansas City from that drive until, I believe, well, actually the end of February.
When is your collecting season?
Season. Good question.
Is that it called collecting
that
season?
That is exactly
okay.
it.
When is the collecting season?
The collecting season, actually, it starts in September, and then we're usually done around May, and then take a break for the summer, which we thought, okay? So that's our collecting season for the socks, but it seemed like when May came around last year, that's when Garland had their tornado, mm-hmm. and then we came to the rescue with that. So it's really mm-hmm. like no matter when we want to stop, somebody else says, no, we still need you. So if there's really nothing really going on during the summer, that's kind of when we take our break.
Okay, well, where are you collecting things? Are you collecting at events? Are you collecting at a specific location, like if there are bricks and mortar buildings?
No, it's usually just events. And
okay.
then, like, if there's an event going on, then we'll consider, say, a giving component, say, to... a mixer or a networking event,
mm-hmm.
then we'll add a giving component to that and collect at those different events. So no one safe specific location you can really drop off. It's just when we're having something. Yeah.
So you guys are going, you're going to be in New Orleans then, I would assume.
Well, no, we're not going to go to New Orleans. What we're going to do is we're going to collect at La Madeleine on Preston and Forest on March the 25th. It's a Saturday from 2 mm-hmm. to 5. So what we'll do is we're going to donate toiletry bags. Well, we're calling them personal hygiene bags.
Mm-hmm.
So people can drop off personal hygiene items. We're going to put them in Ziploc bags right then and there and then take them straight to the post office and ship them off.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anything past that you've done
mm-hmm.
that you feel like was... a success, obviously, but something that you would want to do again, that you like an event, any particular thing, like it's not that you guys are associated with it, but you know how
mm-hmm.
they have, well, I won't even name drop, but you know how they have different events that are yearly events, different
yearly
balls,
events, right?
Different things that are going
right.
on. Are you associated with any
right.
of those organizations?
Well, I would like to do something around when they have the drives for toys and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I've learned that Pampers are another least donated item, and that a lot of babies are wearing sizes that don't belong. So that's another concern of mine. I just haven't really tapped into that yet. But definitely a toy drive and then add on the socks. That's something that I want to do in the future.
So to do so where someone is collecting toys, mm-hmm. and you guys add the socks.
Add the socks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We have a new addition to our studio audience or our studio participants. Hey. We're going to take a break, play a couple songs, and then we'll be back to get the round table started.
Body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. So what's your status? I be the baddest. Be the hit the scene since the gangster lean. I'm more ears. So what you got to say? I hope you're bubbling it, baby. Now bubbling in my way. Let it rain. Ain't no sort up in the game. Still want you to stay. Ain't a thing changed. Instead of knocking boots, we be kicking down Gore-Tex, except it ain't raw sex, roughnecks. Throw your hands in the air, let me hear you say, oh yeah. Trust you, me, I'll blow up shop. About to blow the roof right off of hip-hop. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body.
I'm the MISSS, your best from VAA, and I be smoking hay all day in the barn, damn it, darn. Puff Daddy be my pal when I I took your number one spot, I don't skip, then I hop. I'm so hot, so you can't forget me, not to the yes, yes, y'all. I'ma take a pause, cause I be feeling myself like I was T-Ball. Puff Daddy make him cream. The L-Y-T to the E make him scream. And I'ma show enough be the boss on this team. So all you MCs, how I miss it, make you green.
I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body.
Shady.
That's right.
That's me, complicated rap star, meet like DMC. You see, I'm on to your baby and the mechanism. How you hit it when you're in it so hot, you keep it sizzling. No ooh, ah, she ooh, and all of that too. Keep me wetter than the waters of Kalamazoo. Who you come in with when your posse at? I leave the boys alone, tell her you won't be back. I got the cheese, baby, my cheddar's better. I got that milk, for that I'm a redder. Trust you, me, I'll blow up shop. Have a little nick calling the cops, watch. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body, body, body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body.
Turning me.
I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body.
Give me a minute and I'll be right back. 50 million around the world and they said that I couldn't get.
We're back. We had a studio guest. Shalonda Celestine is still with us. Mm-hmm. Miriam Maiden is here. Shanae Young. These are the participants in our first Black Women's Roundtable. And we talked last week with the men. And I laid some ground rules with them. So I'll do the same with the ladies. And I purposely didn't tell them until they got in studio, the guys, last week. And I did the same thing with the women today. That it's not a bashing session. One of the things that I really hate on social media or when we have this conversation is people will default to whose fault something is. And then when you get, if men would, and then somebody else will come in and say, okay, well, you know what? Well, with Black people, they'll go, well, you know what? Well, because of slavery, because we don't know this, this, and this. And then it gets all kind of jumbled up and nobody really makes any progress with it. So I'm trying to avoid those things. So what I did with the guys last week, it can't be excessively religious. If you say, you know what, you're telling a story and you're in a very bad place and you say, you know what, what did you do? Well, you know what, I prayed about it. That I can take. You cannot default to religion for everything. You cannot default to, if we're talking about slavery, well, you know what, everything is God's will. Ding, I'm stopping you right there because that's not what we're doing. We're not bashing men. We basically are going to deal with us. As women, as mothers, sisters, friends, cousins, lovers, whatever it may be, we are going to deal with us. With that being said, go. Just kidding. Okay. In owning the things that women do, mm-hmm. And how sometimes we may even sabotage ourselves.
Quite often.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We don't even realize.
But I was going to say, and either don't know it or don't own it. Again, I want it to be a place where everybody can kind of come in and speak whatever their truths are and also cloak things because I'm huge on things that you do in your 20s may not be the best thing for you. It may not be what's going to be good for you in your late 20s, early 30s. Right. Or if you're making forever decisions in your 20s, your mm-hmm. early, late teens, early 20s, you having a kid with somebody that if you waited
3 years, you wouldn't even like him.
Right.
So now you're stuck with this joker for the rest of your life.
Right.
And you're mad, and you're talking about him, and he doesn't do this. And a lot of times we don't acknowledge when we're in the situation that maybe he's too young for this, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the skills to, he's not equipped to deal with not even a family, just a child. He may not know what to do with those things.
Exactly.
So I want to discuss how we evolve as women, and how we will sometimes get in our own way, how we need to get out of our own way, and just uplift each other.
That mm-hmm. what you just said a few moments ago about, you know, the scenario you gave of mm-hmm. a 20-year-old. Maybe she thinks this is the guy, this is the one, and then she chooses to get involved with him, and next thing you know, she's got a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she had no thought pattern as to whether or not this guy wasn't the right guy. Because
mm-hmm.
up until then, he was. You know, hey, we having fun. We kicking it. He's good to me. He get my nails done. He get my hair done. You know, they're happy with all that. Then as they go through being pregnant, they realize,
it's getting real.
Maybe you could have done your own hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, you start wondering, where he at? How come he not answering my calls? He know we got this baby. Now let us take this same scenario and make the person 30 years old. Because I'm about to tell you my story.
All right.
Oh my.
All right now.
Okay.
At 32, I decided to have my son. His father and I had been together off and on actually since the time I moved to Dallas at the age of 25. We had been together off and on, but he was a good man, had a good job, always did right. Notice I'm doing the quotation marks,
mm-hmm,
ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Always did right. And we had had conversations about having children and all that. And during the relationship, brother was laying down some words to me. And now that I'm not going to tell you how old I am now, but now that I've aged and gone mm-hmm. through a lot, I realize I ain't listening to none of that. None of those words that he was saying to me. I sat back and I was just thinking the other day. He had said to me one time when we were talking about having kids, yeah, I want to have a family, but the wife and the kids, they got to stay over in that house. I'm going to stay over here in this house. And I thought at the time in having that conversation, oh, he just talking mess. Because he always liked to have conversation where mm-hmm. he wanted to make you think. And he would say all kinds of off-the-wall things just to see what your response was going to be. So at the time when we were having that particular conversation, I thought to myself at that time, oh, he just talking.
You know what, Miriam? I hate people that do that.
Exactly.
I hate people that do things to elicit a response.
Exactly.
Particularly uh-huh. about things that are important.
Right. Exactly.
But my question would be for you. You mm-hmm. said off and on.
It was more on than off, but you're right. I know where you're going
okay,
with that.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay.
I know where you're going with that. That should have been enough.
That would have been a friend. Right, exactly. Thank you. Okay.
But again, I'm talking in my 20s.
Yeah. Uh-huh. 30, 32.
No. This is when the relationship was.
Oh, there. Okay. Right. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sinead, the police today. Sinead,
the
police.
I ain't the police. I'm just saying.
No, she's telling how she led up to.
Right.
She's
right.
telling the lead up
so
to.
So here.
This, you know, this is the same thing for those 20-year-olds that get out there, or even 16, 17-year-olds
yeah.
that get out there and get hooked up with those guys, and they make you feel off and on.
Well, yeah, because they're not really mature
like
at all at that age.
Right.
Yeah, they don't know what they're
like
doing.
Like you're special.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by the time I got to be 32.
You knew better.
I did know better, but I also said to myself, and he and I had another conversation,
mm-hmm.
and we said, if we ever ended up pregnant, this is what we were going to do. We were going to be together. We were going to have not necessarily the nice house and the white picket fence, but we were going to do things as one.
Right.
Well, let us speed up about a month after that very same conversation. I'm pregnant, which was kind of amazing to me because I was like, dang, I ain't even out the field that long and I'm pregnant already. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I get pregnant and immediately he flips the script. immediately he starts talking about how everything now, because we live together, everything now is 50-50. You got your half of the rent. You got your half of the groceries. We got into a huge argument when I was 6 months pregnant simply because I kept $50 of my money. I kept an additional $50 of my money. So he got upset. And he prints out this long list of things that he has paid for over the months.
Is that when you figured out this was a bad deal?
Oh, no, no, no. I was like, damn, how stupid can you be? You knew better. That's what I kept saying to myself. You knew better. You knew this day was coming, Mary. You knew it was coming.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that a lot of times what women do, the big thing that we do is we use our imagination.
Mm-hmm.
When we meet men, when we meet men, first of all, I don't think that women date like men date.
Well, let me qualify this for a second. I had no expectation that things were going to go the way of the conversation that we had had, that we were going to be happy-go-lucky and do everything as one. I had no ideas that that was going to happen.
You was okay with being a mother.
Right. I was okay because I'm like, I'm 32 now. You know, how much longer am I? I'm not going to be 60 years old trying to go little league.
Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth.
I'm sorry.
Watch your mouth.
That's just me. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to do that. And so I was like, I'm pregnant now. I've got what it is that I really, really wanted, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, dude.
But did you? But let me ask you this.
What was your expectation?
But did you?
No, my expectation just became then, because he hadn't been no deranged person up till that point. Even during our off and off periods when we argued, there was no getting rowdy about it.
Right.
So my expectation was he would go on about his business like so many other brothers do, and if he wanted to, he could pay his fair share. If he did not want to, that was fine with me. But if he wanted to know who his child was, I had no problem with that either. Because you did help make this child. I was going to try to keep his baby from him.
So when did you... I think a lot of times women, we don't date like men date. I think that women, when we are younger, we look for the happily ever after. We want that nuclear family, we want that fairy tale type thing.
Right.
Even if there's a child, like if said the dude has a kid, we'll take the kid. We want to do all those things. We want to play house in that way. Mm-hmm. But I think what men do, men date a lot of different people and settle down later on. Which I think that more women should do that. Again, I think dating is like a buffet. Stop eating the chicken fingers and try some filet mignon. Let's get some lobster. There's other things that you can eat, and you figure out what you like by trying different things. But if you get stuck in that situation, and then I think what we do is we see a guy, he's good looking, we then start to build a story, like Build-A-Bear. We start to build a man. We build a story around what he looks like. And we put all these things together. And so when we get involved with him, and if we press to be involved with him, and then he turns out not to be that way, then we start to look and say, okay, well, you know what? I think a lot of us want to be long-suffering.
So then we sabotage it ourselves.
Right.
Then.
But it's bad in the beginning because I think in the beginning you don't, first of all, again, when you don't date, you should date lots of people. I think you date lots of people and people have to learn how to have the dialogue that, hey, you know what, you want to go to the movies? Yeah, that's cool, you know, and you kind of sit around and talk when you go, you have dinner or whatever. Well, no, you know, I'm seeing a couple different people. Nobody seriously, so the person understands. Whether the guy says it, the girl says it, whoever, it's said. And then you figure out how to date instead of when you meet somebody, you start to build a future with them.
You're
in your head.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You start trying on last names. You start imagining what kids look like. And that's what I think happens to women in their 20s.
Because when you get in your 30s and 40s, you've done all that.
Right. But I think that's also why when women get, why you see what I call the old lady in the club and the mini skirt, that she ain't necessarily a fat fat girl. Right. She's got like little legs, but she got that kind of little fat girl stomach going on. But she got on something tight and mm-hmm. little skirt and some high heels. And you know she's just a little too old to be in the club.
Right.
That's the chick that was pregnant at 18 and was married or doing whatever and trying to be at home and try to do those things. And because she had a kid, she couldn't get out and do normal things.
Mm-hmm.
She could not do those normal things. Mm-hmm. So now, in her late 30s, maybe early 40s, she's trying to recapture
That's
her misspent
right.
youth.
That's right.
You have got to, as one of my brothers says all the time, you do things when they are supposed to be done.
That's right.
You do what from 18 to 25, 28, whatever age it is, or into perpetuity, if that's what you want to do, as long as you're not lying to people, mm-hmm. I think you do. You hang out and you party. I was in the military at 18. So at 19 years old, you know, I was doing whatever I felt like doing. I was shutting clubs down on whatever continent I happened to be on and was having
the
best time.
I wasn't in the military and I was shutting
clubs down. Right. But what I'm saying is that's what you do yeah. those things. And
right.
I dated guys and I dated someone. And I remember I was very, very green. And I was one of those that you know, you... When you go out into the world, you think the world is what you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I dated this guy, and he was probably about 5 years older than me, and I was about 21, and we were hanging out. We were at his place, and a mutual friend of ours came over, and they were talking or whatever, and I heard the friend say something about a girl that my dude had been messing around with.
Okay.
So I just turned around and looked at him, and he had this look on his face like, you know that thing? You fucked up. Why are you saying this? He broke the guy code but didn't realize it. But because of who I am as a person, I was cool because I wasn't trying on his last name. I wasn't trying to marry him. It wasn't any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't give it any conscious thought like, well, I'm not going to be that way. I just wasn't that way.
Right.
Which is why I'm basically 50 and single and don't have kids because mm-hmm. I never daydreamed about getting married to anybody. So I think as women, when we dissect what we do, even in telling your story, if you're 25, say from 25 to 30, you are having this relationship with Mr. Man. And if from 25 to 30, if you could flip that and be 35 to 40, it would have never happened.
Almost definitely.
It would have never happened.
I know that already.
Right, but
it's about age.
Because things changed so much for me after that. I mean, once I had my son, everything was great. I mean, I still got the idiot over here.
Miriam, no man bashing.
Well,
no,
okay.
No,
no
we can't do that. We can't be mean to
no
them. That
okay.
Look, if he crazy, it ain't his fault if you pick crazy.
Right.
He can't, it ain't his fault
no
you pick crazy. They can only be what
anyway,
they are.
Point,
if we take them,
was,
we take them.
That's my point was, I realized at that point how I've been choosing men wrong, how I've been living life wrong, basically. And I've been making
Was your dad in the household?
Yes.
Okay. Just a question. Just a question.
Wait a minute. You grew up with me. You don't.
Listen, Miriam, I'm not trying to tell them that I know you like that. No, everybody. Let me say that.
You think that makes a difference?
That's why I'm asking. Mm-hmm. I'm asking if it does because here's my deal.
Well, wait a minute. Let me qualify. My dad was there, but they divorced. But although my parents divorced, they divorced when I was 12. Although my parents divorced, my dad was always within arm's reach.
Right.
I could always pick up the phone at any time.
Yeah, no. And, the reason that I ask
I know
is because
that a lot of folks don't have that
right.
type of access.
And I don't think
that
everybody's situation is necessarily the same.
Right.
Because I think people will say that a lot of times if girls grow up without fathers, that they seek that attention from other men. That wasn't necessarily my case.
It was not my
yeah,
case.
Yeah, that was not my issue. Because mm-hmm. I played basketball. I ran track. I was a cheerleader. I was always doing something, moving.
Right.
So I really was not, I didn't have a whole lot of free time for sex, and probably too because I was a duck. I had a mustache and squirrel tail for eyebrows. So just in case you all run up on any pictures of me, I'm diffusing the situation now. You're not going
to
embarrass me.
I have to say, just like she did.
No,
right
no, 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 no.
Dye your hair.
No. Oh, damn.
Dye your hair.
No. And look, that's white hair. That is white hair. Those are not highlights, ma'am.
I understand.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
No, no. Let me tell you something.
She looks
I was a duck.
Same.
I look like I looked, but I have less hair on my face than I had then. So let's clarify. I was a duck. So probably I didn't have sex, but then nobody want to have sex with me, maybe. I don't know.
Oh,
possibly. Memory gets a little fuzzy. But what I'm saying is, at 18, when I joined the military, my logic was, oh, you know what? I'm going to go out and I'm going to see the world. And then when I'm 21, I'll get married and settle down.
Mm-hmm.
How dumb was that at 18? But I got to, the closer I got to 21, I was like, wait a second. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Okay, 25. And I would push it back, hence now 49. But I would push it back because mm-hmm. I realized, okay, hold on. I don't know what fathers do because my parents divorced when I was 2. But I looked and I was like, okay, I don't know what dads do, so let me kind of figure this out, or what men are supposed to do, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I got lucky. Even the cheater dude was cheating.
Wait a minute, I thought you said no man.
Well, I'm saying I don't want to say his name.
I think she just described it.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, so you?
Well, actually, she
used it as a description.
True. I'm trying not to say his name. Right. Basically, I'm not really, because I don't. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm trying not to say his name.
Let me clarify
we
this.
No.
So are we saying that women that grow up with a man in the household, the father, versus the ones that don't, they're deciding factors about relationships?
I don't know.
Well, I believe that it is.
I think it can be affected.
Yeah. I don't know so much.
Let me give an example. Okay. Let me give an example of what I think what would happen. If a woman grows up with a father in the house.
Let me clarify this. Shawna's daddy is around. Don is in the house. Go ahead.
If a woman grows up with a father in the house, then her outlook on men, it comes from the role that the father played, I believe. Okay. So that helps her decide in fact.
Good father, bad father. Because if you're in the household with
and that's
your father.
A difference too,
yeah,
because if
he's
a bad father, then that's how she'll look at men.
Does she have a bad father and then realize, okay, you know what, I don't like this, so I stay away. You know what I mean? Is she exposed
to
behavior?
It can also teach her too, yeah, to choose the right sort of man. So if you have a woman that does not, and it's not guaranteed that she'll look at men in the negative light, but she'll also, I think, navigate closer and stay closer to a man that she chooses, because that'll be her sort of quote-unquote father figure. That's mm-hmm. my belief.
Well, for me, I mean, my mother and my dad, they divorced when I was 2. But my father also was around. I mean, holiday, I mean, if we went camping, he went camping. Mm-hmm. If it was Christmas, he was there at the house
right.
with us. But I think I came up a little bit. I was out and partying and this, that, and the other thing. But when it came down to relationships, I think the main thing at a young age mm-hmm. on my mind was I didn't want to be a baby mama. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't want to have kids out of wedlock. I didn't want to be somebody's baby mama. Oh, I'm sorry.
What? Talk to the audience.
What is that? Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I didn't want to be a baby mama.
Right.
I wanted to have something to bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Ergo, now at 50, you know, I have a career, I have home, I have car, mm-hmm. you know, and something that I can bring to the table.
Right.
Except there's no man at the table that can bring the same thing to the table.
And I think that's important too for both the women and men to want to bring something to the table, not right. just one side.
Well, and one of the things we kind of discussed last week with the guys was more granular, I think, with them, because I was really trying to get to the things that make them tick. Because mm-hmm. as women, we can get together as women and we immediately can start talking.
Oh, yeah.
At the very least, you can talk about men.
Mm-hmm.
So we always mm-hmm. there's always that thing there, and women are open to that discussion.
Right.
Whereas for men, it's more difficult for them to do it because they are afraid of being judged as being weak, soft,
right.
or a punk, which one of the guys said last week. For me, a round table of black women is different than one for men, because our thing is not to open up and discuss things, because we will talk all day. Women,
right.
this is, I tell, when I talk to men, it's particularly if they're younger men and they have children and they feel like, you know, they're having some type of custody deal or whatever their thing may be. I always tell them, you better go find your mama, go find your mother, go find your sisters, go find your female friends, because you are, men lose in court because women get every other woman. You can be on the bus and a woman that you don't know mm-hmm. can hear a conversation about your child support issues or your custody issues. Mm-hmm. That woman that don't know you will come and give you information.
Yep.
We help. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
As with men, it's a little different story. I think also that for us, the things that we talk about, the way that we discuss things, a lot of times when we get together, is to talk badly about men. And not that they don't necessarily deserve to be talked badly about, but to me, it doesn't move it forward.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't help it, because you have to, I've heard enough conversations where I look at men and basically, like one of the guys last week, he was like, well, you know, you don't say anything to women because you don't hear about it 6 months later. Well, that's not really, I mean, I know why they're saying it, but I'm the same way. There's stuff that I don't say to people. I know they're going to say something about it later on. I don't want to hear about it. I'm just telling you something now. Shut up. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So I think to actually, when you have two individuals, and we will say that, you know, all black men will be represented by one man in the embodiment of one man for the sake of this conversation or right now. Mm-hmm. And then all women are one woman. When you have two people who are broken or who are damaged, and even if it's you say this a man and a woman, or let's say it's three men and three women, the thing is, people hurt differently. Mm-hmm. So it may be Miriam could have had her kid with her dude and realized, you know what, this was a bad decision. I should have cut this off at 26, you know, and went on to something different. Mm-hmm. When you realize those things, but you if it bothers you, if you feel like, okay, you know what, he lied, he's crazy, he's whatever, and then you kind of get into, okay, well, why would he, that's stupid, why would he do that? If you hurt me, I get mad. I may not talk to you, but I'll get mad. Some people, when they are hurt, they lash out.
Right.
They want to be heard. Mm-hmm. So even if you come to them, if you say, hey, you know what, I did X, Y, or Z, or this happened, they don't hear you because they need you to understand that they are hurt.
They want you to, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
they
you
have
know the old saying, mm-hmm. hurt people.
I said it last week. But but the thing is, because everybody with black men and black women, I believe, because each of us are trying to air our grievances,
mm-hmm.
and going out into the neighbor's yard to talk about it instead of fixing what we got in the house, mm-hmm. before we go outside.
Right.
Because we're looking to basically say, okay, I'm hurt, you hurt me, blah, 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 and not look at, okay, well, this person is hurt too. And I'm not saying that because I think what happens a lot of times is that women will put themselves aside to make sure everybody else is okay.
That's right. That's what we do naturally.
It generally Absolutely. Goes down like that, though, because it takes a lot of maturity to be able to say, I'll take ownership. And whatever
Absolutely.
Was it is that I did.
But you know what, though? But someone. Too much of anything is not a good thing. And I say that,
definitely.
And I'm saying that to say that as women, in order for black men to do what they need to do,
mm-hmm.
we have to step back.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah. We have to step back.
Definitely.
And we have to, with young girls.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. As black women with young black girls,
mm-hmm.
what we need to then do is explain to them and start young
That's
to explain
right.
to them. What you do is you date in your 20s. You don't run off to get married. And I believe if you have a goal, if you talk to your kid and she's 6, hey, you know what? I want to be a doctor. Okay, let's put on paper what we need to do. And you do it at 6. Okay, this is how many years of school you're going to
mm-hmm.
have. This is, you're going to have to take biology. You're going to have mm-hmm. to take anatomy. You're going to take all of these things and start, you know, you prepare them by giving them books and showing them videos and maybe, you know.
You build that up.
Right. In the eighth grade, I did a project on the heart.
Right.
And so I got a plastic heart because my mom worked on an open heart mm-hmm. team. And one of the doctors was like, hey, you come in and see a surgery? I was like, no. But I was 13, so I didn't have sense. I didn't necessarily want to be a doctor, but that would have been a great thing to see.
Right.
But what we do not do is when we explain what you need to do to achieve that, we do not explain what will derail you. Mm-hmm. What's going to derail you? It's okay to want to be a mother. It's okay to not want to be a mother. But it's also okay if you want to be a mother at 30.
True. Yeah,
instead of 18.
But back to what you were saying, though, about being able to teach our young ladies how to allow the man to basically lead. You didn't use that word.
That's not even what I mean. I mean that sometimes with men, if you step back not to allow them to lead, you step back to allow them to develop.
Right.
To develop. Because one of the things that we as women do in an effort to protect children mm-hmm. a lot of times, in an effort to make sure, you know, to help men, because we are helpers, we are nurturers, that is what we,
That's
do.
What we do.
But when you step in, sometimes people need to go, you need to fall and get a little bit and toughen up and then go on.
But at this age, at this age, I mean, because I'll step back and say, okay, let's let a man be a man and have this expectation of what a man is, right? And then you know, I'm looked upon as being, well, no, you know, if my expectation of a man is, okay, a man is supposed to, let's go something as trivial as open the door, mm-hmm. or take out the trash, or just something just as minute as that.
But at
this age, I should not have to tell a man how to be a man.
Let me tell you why you do. You do because if they have never got they if right. if something if Nobody's you have if you have building blocks
right.
if you start from let's go A to Z. Hang on. If you start from A to Z and let's say they get A, B, C, D, and E, and then they skip F, G, H, I, J, K, and then they pick up an L, something is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And they may do things to cover that. And it will start at 20 years old. And you never put it in place because, again, they come from that place where they don't ask for help. They don't do those things. So when they then meet a woman who has stuff, they don't have that thing.
However, at 50 years old, at 50 years old and trying to tell that 50-something, even 45, 50-something-year-old man that L or whatever, E, F, and G is missing.
Mm-hmm.
That is not well received.
Well, first of all, and I will say this, as I said it last week too, everybody ain't gonna make it. When you start to,
right, you find
there's
the
a lot
right,
of them that's not
the
making
right
it.
Right. Invest their time.
Right. A lot of people are not gonna make
right.
it just
right
in terms of
in terms of
women. Because the thing is, if you, I said last week, and Anthony was, he was like, well, no, I don't think that's. I said, if you fix what is wrong with black men, you can fix 80% of what's wrong with black people.
Almost definitely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and
Almost
I don't.
Definitely.
But the thing was, as men, they were, Anthony was a little, he was like, no, I think you should say empower. Well, no, you get your own show. I'm not saying empowered. I said fix because it's broken.
It is
and
broken.
I'm not, yeah. But you have, they have to get to a place where they are comfortable enough to understand, to they see that it's broken, not understand it, and then go to rebuild it. And part of the thing is, you're not going to fix everybody. At 50, if a dude don't know to take the trash, he ain't taking the trash.
Well, and I don't know he was talking about fixing them, right? Because
but you have to.
But I'm not. I'm really focusing on me because, you know, these are my expectations, right? My expectation, and as such, since this is my expectation, and this, you know, because I'm trying to step back, because before, you know, I want to be the man. Growing up, we as women, as teenagers, as young adults, as the women, we heard that out. Now, you trying to be the man? I want to be the man. Blah blah blah. Right? Just because they really want to be in control and this, that, to a certain extent.
That's an insecurity. When they say those things, that's an indication of an insecurity, and it is because I am a leader. You cannot stop me from leading. So when people go, "Oh, I'm gonna let you lead," you ain't letting me do a goddamn thing. I'm doing what I do. If you are a man, you will do man shit. And it's not, and if you come across a woman who is saying that she, if she is in any way inhibiting that, then she can't stop you. You just take your man shit and go to some woman's house that likes
it. Exactly.
Okay,
so I have no patience.
I think though, there was something I heard a woman say on the radio about a week or so ago, and it's a word that a lot of women hate to hear, and now as I'm getting older, I understand the word a lot more, and it is being submissive.
Oh, my.
And I know it sounds like a horrible word, but it doesn't mean, you know, this man is coming to take control of me and make me do whatever. That's not necessarily what it means. It means what you were saying initially, Brianna, which was letting that man just be. He's not going to open the door for you if you beating him to the door and then opening it yourself.
Well,
what reason does he have to even do that? Now, if you go and you stand there and wait.
Yeah, but also if his ego is that fragile,
it's not even about his ego being fragile.
If he's mad that you didn't let him open the door, it's about his ego.
I'm saying that's all a part of taking away some of the things that makes a man be a man, at least that we know of.
Well, what about putting your expectations out there on the table?
Right.
And
right.
Give the man a chance to.
Definitely.
Even if that's something that he's not used to doing.
Ooh, I hope this turns into speed dating for black people. Yeah. I'm interested in speed dating.
That's honestly true. You know, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, from that very first date, from the very first
date. But you know, let me tell you what the problem is.
Your expectation is, or even saying
Listen,
to him,
if you feel that's what's missing, yeah.
What do you want?
That's a key indicator for them to. That, I mean, because I
an indicator for what?
For them to run.
They're not ready, babe.
I'm telling you, because I don't go out and trying to pick the one. Mm-hmm. When I first meet someone, I'm not going out to say, oh, that's the
one. She looking for Neo.
But I'm telling you, for me, yes, I'm Miss Leo. I'm Miss Independent. I'm mm-hmm. whatever, right? I will, at 50, 45, 50 years old, when I'm tired of playing the game, I'm going to set my expectations out front. So you can't tell me I never told you. Right. This is what my expectation. This is my expectation of you. This mm-hmm. is what I'm expecting of me in this relationship. Whatever. If I go out and tell somebody, well, yeah, I don't kick it. I'm 50 years old. I can't kick it. I mean, I'm not hanging out when I don't have that kind of time. Right. I work. I own my own business. I work 2 and 3 jobs, teach, all that kind of stuff. Right. So I don't have time to kick it. Now, I'm not saying, OK, when I meet you, hello, when we walking down the aisle. No, mm-hmm. I'm not saying right. that. But I'm setting an expectation. Don't come at me. Can I cut? Don't come at me dick first, oh, right? Don't wonder what color panties I got on without telling me what, you know, mm-hmm. you don't even know what my middle name is.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
I'm 50 years old, mm-hmm. okay? My expectation of a man is, yeah, to be a man, and I'll let you be the man, okay? But I'm just not going to sit there and say, Well, we can just kick it. We can kind of hang out, or we can go, you know, out to dinner. But you know what? That's taking up my time, and my time is valuable right now.
But so, that's exactly what you should not do, though. As soon as you see that this brother is not the one.
Oh, baby, it don't get past 5 minutes. It never gets to
She ain't got no problem shooting nobody down.
No, I'm sure. And unfortunately, because of that, that still leaves a lot of us, including myself, alone. Not necessarily lonely, but until you fix things,
mm-hmm. that is going to happen.
But hold on, let me hop in here.
At a certain age, nobody wants to be fixed, especially most men. When they reach 50s and 60s, they're set in their ways.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Most of them like their lives the way they are.
Exactly.
It's hard for them to change. So that's kind of bad for us, because maybe by that time, we're ready to make a few changes,
mm-hmm.
you
right.
know, for someone, but maybe they aren't. So you kind of...
Well, maybe we need to broaden our environment. Maybe we need to stop looking from... I mean, seriously. I mean, if you're the person that's accustomed to, you know, you go to Bible study on Wednesday night, you in church on Sunday morning, you in the choir, plus you make it to happy hour on Friday mm-hmm. after work with the girls, maybe mm-hmm. that's your thing.
Right.
But if that's what you're doing and you keep meeting the slimy brothers that you... then that's what you're going to do, is keep meeting them slimy brothers. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe if you decide, I think I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to the gallery today and see what new art is out.
Oh, try some new things, new
activities. I'm not, you know, out here to buy or shop. You know, mm-hmm. I just want to see what's out here, what's different for me to see.
Come out of your comfort zone.
Exactly.
Let's talk about dating white men now, since you said that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, oh, girl.
White men nowadays got a lot more swag than they used to. But I have to say, from my surroundings are still rather small.
She done got a little flustered over here.
No, I'm just saying, my environment has gotten rather small. The opportunities I've had in the past were not anything that was memorable. So I didn't have any interest in mm-hmm. trying to venture into that territory once again. But... as I just got through saying, you got to come out of your comfort zone. You have to try something new. Plus, after a while, we're not going to be the only brown people around here. So mm-hmm. you might as well go on out there and enjoy everybody that there is to enjoy.
Sinead said no.
Yeah.
She ain't said no, but her body language said no.
And I can understand.
No.
I've been 50 years, and I still ain't got nobody ringing my phone. But you know, neither do I.
But I don't go. I don't go out. I mean, I guess my comfort zone would be
is her house. Is her kitchen.
House. See, yeah. See, is that my could be kitchen. The thing, though. Finding a dude that loves to cook.
I'm perfectly fine with that. I am perfectly fine.
Shalonda.
Okay. So what if? Just what if? This was a man that
he had a few flaws. You know, maybe he didn't do things that you thought he should. But what about the things that he does that you like? What if you kind of concentrate more on that?
And very
is
open.
Is he white? Or are we just talking about?
I got lost.
Wait.
We're just saying a man.
I'm not talking about man.
No color whatsoever.
Listen. I asked that because as black women, that is something that we have to look at.
Oh,
I mean, I think that there are like I know younger black women who date white dudes or non-black men, and it's no big deal to them. We are of a generation of women. That's not necessarily what we did. We are the keepers of culture, which is what women are.
That's right.
So what has happened is I think that we realize as we know in general, black men can go out and do whatever they're going to do. But we know as soon as we step out, it's a done deal. Right. It's done.
I mean, look how they're doing Serena.
Oh.
Serena don't care about them.
Well, I know she don't care.
She gonna buy and sell all of them for 50 cents.
I understand she doesn't care, but I'm just saying.
Right.
Before she even announced that she was engaged, folks couldn't wait to see her behind come across their Facebook friends.
And the thing was, at some point I read that she and Common were dating, and basically he after the fact, he felt like she was the one, but he never told her.
Right.
But that's one of their things.
Right.
Because what happens is that as we get older, you really start to put things in perspective, I feel like, and you start to think, okay, well, you know what? Should I be single for the rest of my life? You know, if you have a child, Shalonda has children. Look, that son of yours.
I got grown folks.
Girl, he's fine. He's fine. I remember when Najee was a little bitty.
Oh, thank you.
Mannish little boy. But oh, my goodness. You have great kids. Great. Shanae doesn't have children. I don't have children. You have to start at some point. You stop and you look and you say, hey, you know what? What am I going to do when I'm 60?
Mm-hmm. You have to look
at
that.
What are you going
to
do?
That's right.
I think about that every day. But to Shalonda's point or her question to me is I do. I've actually relaxed my, and I'm not going to say relax my standards, just relax my stance.
Right.
Okay, just a little bit. But I still have an expectation that, you know, I'm not going to relax my morals. I'm not going to relax my standards. Right?
Well, let me ask you this, though. Do you feel like as a black woman, do you resent? Because quite frankly, I resent having to relax any goddamn thing. Are white women relaxing stuff to get dudes? Or who else is relaxing stuff?
Well,
so
again,
why am I relaxed?
You heard me say this before.
But I want to say, not that they get everything that they want in every dude each and every time, but as a group, are they called upon to, hey, you know what? You need to kind of fall back a little bit, and you need to do, well, yeah, you know, he just, you know what I mean?
No.
But as women, I kind of resent that.
Yeah, and I would too, and I do too. But you've heard me say, I mean, you've known me for years, okay? And so I know you've heard me say this more than once, that, you know, a black man will call a black woman a gold digger in a heartbeat. We'll call her a gold digger in a heartbeat. But, and I am one that has had an opportunity to have celebrity friends, right?
Okay. Absolutely.
And so I see the shenanigans, so to speak, that goes on from the women and even the guys, okay? They will call the black woman, these black men will call the black woman a gold digger. They will call the white woman baby, and they do the exact same thing. They will say the exact same words. They will act the exact same way. Black woman, gold digger. White woman, baby, what can I do for you? Oh, and then their excuses. Baby, you can't help who you fall in love with. Believe me, I know. I mean, I haven't been on the gold digger end. I'm just watching. I watched.
Well, you know what? And this is what I've heard. I've got brothers and a whole nine. I've heard just the flip side of what you just said. Black men feel that when it comes to white men, we act differently towards them than we do a black man.
But you can.
Okay, so listen to this. This is what I've heard.
Well,
for instance, if a black guy walks by you, most of the time black women feel like if he speaks, he's flirting. To me, and that's what I've heard, that's the first thing we think, oh, he's flirting with me. If a white guy walks by, we're all smiles and, hey, how you doing? We're assuming right off top that he's not
because
flirting.
Because you have history with black men. And because For me, it depends on what they say, what they're saying.
Right.
Because a lot of times I am on guard with black men.
Mm-hmm.
But if they walk by and they speak, I always speak to them.
Right.
As long as if they, and I'm always a little surprised when they just say, hey, you know, sister, how you doing? Or hey, how you doing? Or whatever. Right. And then kind of go
and
on.
And then go on. Yeah.
If it's not a lead in, I don't necessarily think that's flirting. Right. I think it may be a lead in to say
to
stuff.
Something else.
And see, and I'm probably not because I'm hard of hearing, but probably also.
Because she
but,
is.
But I am hard of hearing. But I'm kind of the opposite mm-hmm. because I, you know, in my past relationship years ago, you know, I was, when we broke up, the thing was, oh, well, I didn't want the relationship. I just was going along, or you assume. So now a black, white, green, purple guy can walk past mm-hmm. me. If you don't say the, hey, you know, I want to talk to you, or hey, can I talk to you, or this, I'm really ignoring you. I get it all the time where sisters or friends say, that guy was looking at you, really?
Right.
I didn't see.
He didn't notice.
Well, and you know, as we're friends, you mm-hmm. know that I have somebody that I, from the moment I saw him, was like, oh, my God. I could not keep it together, ever. 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 And this is
mine
20
passed.
Years old.
Mine passed.
Right.
Yeah.
And we kind of had a thing, but because we were in two different cities, mm-hmm. two different states, for me, I feel like you need to say, hey, you know what are we doing here? Because I'm thinking we need to date. We need to be exclusive. You can't, I'm not, and I wasn't necessarily seeing anybody else, but my deal is if you are trying to date me exclusively, mm-hmm. you need to say that.
That's right.
You need to say that. That's and right. if you don't, then I'm on to the next thing here. Mm-hmm. And back to what you were saying about with black women and dealing with black men and feeling like they're flirting. It's not even so much that I don't necessarily feel like they're flirting. What I feel like is they trying to fuck me. That's what I feel like. I feel like they saying, hey, can I get in your drawers?
Right.
That's what it leads. Because they'll go, hey, how you doing? What's your name? Oh, it's Brianna. You got a man? Really?
Or how many kids you got?
Right.
See, I feel the white man is trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If your destination, if you're going to the same place, which car you want to ride in, the Cadillac or you want to ride in the Pinto? And I'm not saying in terms of black and white. I'm saying in terms of the game that they present. Because white dudes will come with some shit, too.
The black man's approach might not be to my liking. But I think the white man's goal is the same. As
every man's goal is.
Which is my point. So, for me, it doesn't even come down to, I think the reason why black men like going with white women and black women are now finding out that they enjoy white men is because there's a certain amount of freedom that's available to them when they go into these relationships.
What do you mean?
Says who?
I think for that particular individual, uh-huh. they have a certain amount of freedom.
Cause who, the white individual or the black individual?
No, the black individual.
Uh-huh. Oh, ain't no freedom. Ain't no freedom. I have a white guy that I see, and you know my thing is he doesn't care because he dates women. He likes black women. I, on the other hand, when we are together, particularly if I am where he lives, I watch everybody, every single body.
No, mm-hmm. but see that right there is my point. My point is that he doesn't care. He's taking you as you are. He doesn't have any preconceived notions about how you are supposed to be, what you're supposed mm-hmm. to be like, what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to stand.
He doesn't care.
Exactly.
He doesn't care.
Whereas the brother, he's looking for the pop bottle, you know, the Coca-Cola bottle shape, and he's looking for the big booty, and he's looking for, not all of them. Okay. I apologize.
No, I know what you mean. You're general. I get it.
But I'm saying that in general, the brother has a scripted view of the sister already because of that history and that relationship, whether it be growing up with his mama and his sisters mm-hmm. or his aunties, mm-hmm. he's already formulated a view about what a black woman is, what she's supposed to be like, mm-hmm. who she is. Yeah, she all nice right now, but when I get her back, she gonna be taking all that weave out of her head. Mm-hmm. Or when I get her back, she gonna be, you know, taking off that padded bra, that push up, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they mm-hmm. have that preconceived. Whereas the white guy, 9 times out of 10, he didn't have that preconceived notion, nor does he care.
I was going to know that. They don't care about that.
It's a new adventure for them. It's a new person, a new
adventure. Don't you think that's generalizing? Don't you think? Because are you saying all? Are you saying from experience? Or
I think what she's saying is
because this is just she's pointing out just what I just said, how we act differently when a man is demand to me.
I don't think that we are acting any differently per se. The only difference is that I have the freedom to be who it is that I want to be, and this guy's not going to have any hang-ups with me about it.
Because they don't have the history. What she's saying, the history is not there.
Okay.
Because basically, when you deal with people as black people, particularly with women in our age group growing up in Kansas City, mm-hmm. in the areas that we grew up in, we know that, for instance, if because of the way I sound, I work in a strip club, everybody knows, so every so often I get some crazy young head that want to ask to me and I have to let her know and make an example of her.
Mm-hmm.
But people feel like because I talk the way that I talk, and I don't say I'm not into all this stuff that they think that black people are into. And mm-hmm. even sometimes it's younger black people, but mostly not. But we know growing up where we grew up in Kansas City, in all our respective neighborhoods, we are actually on the cusp of when all the bullshit got kicked off in Kansas City. We're on Kearns that was killed at the party at Paseo.
I remember that.
The guy that killed him, I lived on the second house from the corner on 53rd and Euclid.
Mm-hmm.
Cross 53rd Street and go two houses. The dude that killed him lived there.
Wow.
The girl,
right. The 15-year-old girl that was kidnapped and raped and killed.
Ann Harris.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
By Michael Taylor and mm-hmm. Roderick Dunley. Michael Taylor, two blocks from me this way, Roderick Nunley here on 55th right. Street. Uh-huh. So we grew up, and that obviously Kearns happened when I was there. I was a little older, but Kearns, I was there. The thing with Michael and Roderick and Ann Harris.
Mm-hmm.
That happened after I was gone. But a lot of that stuff that goes on in Kansas City or in parts of the city did not happen until we were adults or close uh-huh. enough to adults that uh-huh. we weren't submerged in it.
Mm-hmm.
So with in terms of what Miriam's saying, when you deal with people who come out of a different situation, not that white guys can't be that way, because when you get white dudes that are wiggers,
uh-huh.
they can act like that. Uh-huh. That ain't my dude. I don't like that dude.
No.
But when you get a guy who, what I learned from the guy that I see from time to time, he doesn't have those hang-ups.
That's true.
And it's kind of cool for me because, and I always find myself like when I'm with him, we're in a bar. I'm the only black person in the bar. It's one or two black people. I'm looking at everybody. And on the outside, you cannot tell what I'm doing, but I am watching every white person in there because I'm like, we're gonna see if some shit gonna pop off
right
here, because I'm gonna have to get y'all that. We need a table in the corner, so my back is to the wall. So
and
I pay attention to it. And every time that happens, I always realize, you know what? This speaks to how I have to always be on guard.
Exactly.
As a black woman.
Exactly.
I am always on guard. I always feel like, okay, if this dude is speaking, after he says, hey, is he going to come back and say something else? Mm-hmm. Oh, I ain't got time for this. Get away from me. That kind of thing. Always on guard. Because you always have to worry about, hey, you know what? Is he just going to say, hey? Or is he going to try to hit on you? Or is he going to, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Is there an ulterior motive? And again, it's not that with other than black men, there isn't an ulterior motive.
They all have the same motive.
Right. But I don't think
it's the way they go about it.
When you get to a particular type of black dude that's saying, hey, what's your name? You got a man? That type of dude, I believe, probably runs the gamut in every race. But when white men approach me, that's not the white dude that approaches me.
Right.
Not at all.
Right.
And let's just say all men want to have sex.
Right.
It is a matter of, are you trying to have sex with this person 2 minutes after you meet her? Are you how wide is the net that you're casting? Because if you're trying to get me, you need to be a specialty fisherman. You're not gonna exactly. You're not gonna cast the net and get me in the same net that you get a boot in or a tire or a can, mm-hmm. a rusted out can. You have to be a specialty fisherman, and then you look at what does that person want. Because if a white guy can approach a black woman, and basically, if every dude on the planet is running game, let's say everybody's running game, whatever the game is, people play the game at different levels. I like to liken it to going to the club. You in the club, there's a dude that he don't buy you a drink, he don't say nothing to you, he just wants your name, and basically y'all gonna fuck in the car. Then you get the dude that'll buy you a drink and stand and talk to you, dance for a little bit and get your phone number, and then when he comes on the first date, then he wanna do it. You might get a dude that puts in a little more time, 2-4 months, before he springs his trap on you, whatever it is. Everybody, if every dude has a game, the dude that you actually are looking for is the one that plays the game at a higher level and that understands it's a give and take.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when I think that what Miriam is saying is that when it's difficult for black people because of the history that we have a lot of times.
I agree.
Because we are hurt and because we don't understand how to heal that hurt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To say, you know, for men, it would be difficult for men to be, say, in a room full of women or full of people and say, okay, you know what? Well, my mom, you know, because she was mad at my father, she treated me X way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I dated somebody who looked like his father and his parents got together. The mother got pregnant. They were together for a little bit. He joined the military, married somebody else, and was gone. And because my friend looked like his daddy, had his daddy's name, his mother emotionally could not get past that. He and I have discussed it a lot. But he is that dude that has made the decision to back down
mm-hmm.
and peel away the bullshit.
Right.
A lot of times men don't know it. And if they do know it, they don't know how to say it because they're uncomfortable saying it. And they feel like, okay, you know what? I'm going to be judged. And if they feel that way, they will never say anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, when you talk about how you're 50 and you can't get this dude, some of these dudes ain't going to make it one. And the ones who do, they're going to have to be given a space, a place where they can say these things. And quite frankly, not every black woman is going to date a black man. There's not. You. Some of the things that happen with black people, the first thing is we have children before we're ready to. So when you have a kid, like I had a friend who, I have a group of friends, we get together, we play spades, dominoes, whatever, bid, and we go to different people's houses.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends, which I didn't realize because he was kind of nasty, I mean like say nasty stuff,
oh, okay.
was a pastor. Or was studying to be a pastor. I didn't realize that. I hope you're not listening, but if you are, you know you did it. But he... He was talking to me, and he would always hit on me. And then we would play this game called questions, and if you missed the question, you have to drink or whatever. And basically, you'd ask this person a question. They have to ask another person a question, but they can't answer yours. They have to look at somebody different,
mm-hmm.
and you play the game. So whoever messes up basically has to take a drink. So they started including us non-drinkers, and we were drinking juice or something. I think they just wanted me to act silly. So he would say crazy stuff like, what would Jesus do? Or he would say stuff like, I wonder what you taste like. So I'd look at the next person and go, what would Jesus do? Because you're supposed to be a man of God. Why are you over talking like this to me?
Mm-hmm.
He spoke to me. He talked to me, called me, because we all have each other's numbers. He calls me on the phone. He has 7 kids. I don't have any children. I had purchased my home at the time. Where you think you're going with 7 kids?
Right.
You're not coming over here. So when those things, when the mistakes that men make when they're having children, when you do that and you got 2, 3, 4, 5 kids, you got to pay for them. What do you do? Because you're not linking my income to pay for your children.
Exactly.
I'm not going to not have shoes so your kids can have shoes. These are not my children.
Because
I don't even like you.
Choices.
Right. I don't like you, and you're not going to play this game, and I'm not that chick that feels like you're a pastor, so I want to be the pastor's wife. I don't want to be no pastor's wife. I don't want people calling my house at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning and need my husband to lay hands on them. Not going to happen. But he felt like with 7 kids, he could call me and we could talk about it on the phone and then tell me he wanted more. What kind of crazy is this? And what kind of juice you think you got? First of all, you fat. I don't like fat men. So everybody out there, if your feelings are hurt, sorry.
Wait. Did we say no
bad? I'm not talking bad about him. I'm just saying in terms of how his approach to me.
Shut up, like, Montana.
Yeah, hit that bell.
I'm saying what is it that tells you, first of all, you know, I'm a size 6. I don't want you, dude. You think I look like I look so I can go get
But he doesn't know that.
He should.
There's a lot of big men.
Yeah.
There's a lot of big women that like
You see my face?
But I'm just
Ain't
saying.
Nothing about me. And he done been to my house several
times.
Wait a
minute now. Didn't we just talk about getting out of your comfort zone?
No,
you don't.
I'm not
know
going there.
I consider myself.
You're right, and I will never know. Right, and I'm never
like
gonna know what a big man can do for me.
Right,
I don't like big dudes. I don't find it attractive. And I'm not gonna play this game with you and choose something that I don't like. And then 2 weeks into the marriage, I don't want to have sex with you anymore. And you crying about that? Well, I don't really like you.
But
you got 7 kids.
In actuality, I don't think it's because of your size that you don't like big men. I think it's because of your background. I mean, we both grew up playing basketball. So
yes.
What was our comfort zone at that point?
And my father
was
6'6".
Was the tall,
mm-hmm.
6-foot,
yeah.
slim guy. Right. I mean, and that's it. If you say 6-foot anything to me, you had me at hello.
And then also, how tall are you?
I'm average height for a woman, and I will tell you that.
the reason that I'm saying that
and
is...
I've always told her that,
listen,
too.
The reason I say that is because 6 feet to me is not necessarily tall, because I'm 5'9".
I was about to say, no. Okay. We got to be...
I want 6'2".
Yeah, I'm like, I want 6'3", and you taller than me.
Look, I am average height for a woman, because I'm not going to give you the...
Evidently not.
However, any 6 and up is what I look
like. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, but the reason that I was saying that is because a lot of times when you, if you are working to fix a problem, so to speak, there's going to be fallout. Everybody's not going to make it. People have to be, you're going to have to be held accountable for things that you've done. First of all, if you got 7 kids, I don't understand 7 children. I don't understand 7 of anything. Not dealing with it. Well, I'm saying
that brother just found the wrong sister in you. He needs to go find their sister.
Well, no. And he's married now. Spectacular. But I'm saying I think, again, because we make forever decisions when we are young. When you hit 30 and you then have to contend with those decisions, with the ramifications of those things, that then throws a lot of stuff off. For me, if I meet a dude, if you're my age and let's say you're 50, first of all, I think it's kind of crazy if you're 50 and a grandparent, but I see that it happens regularly.
That's kind of wild to me,
right,
too, Bri.
Right, that's odd to me, but I understand that if I meet you and let's say you are 53 years old, you got 3 kids, let's say you were married, you had 3 kids with your wife or whatever, it didn't work out, you guys got a divorce, so now you pop out of whoever little kids. You I can handle. The dude with 3 kids by 3 different chicks, I'm looking at you funny.
Right.
I am. I'm looking at you funny because to me, whether it's true or not, in my reality, in Brianna world, for me, that tells me you were terribly irresponsible.
Very. Oh,
yeah. And you didn't stop to think about the financial cost to these kids. Because, like, dude with 7 kids, don't fuck me. You're not coming to my house because that means, and your kids is by a couple different chicks. So that means every weekend somebody's at my house tearing shit up? How about no?
Okay, so let me tell you a quick story. A friend of mine, I've got a perfect guy that I want you to meet. Okay, he's a good man. He's a good father.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got 5 kids, and I'm like, okay. And well, this just he's a real nice guy. So I go get ready to go out on this date with him. He asked me. He honestly asked me. He says, "Do you want to go to dinner or do you want to go to the movies?" Well, you know, I'm trying to be consistent.
Both.
Look,
right.
Wait a minute. So I'm like, well, you know, well, we can go to the movies. That way, if I'm not feeling, I can just be focused on the movie, right? Look, it's always a plan, no, right? Anyway, so we go. He comes and he picks me up, and we go to get ready to go to the movies. And he says, "You know what? But I'm really hungry." So he stops at the chicken joint, right? And I'm like, "Well, I can't say anything because I said movies. So wherever you go, I'm good with that."
Right.
So we're to the chicken joint. And then right after we pick up some chicken, we go to the theater. He's like, "Well, stay right here. I'll be right back." Okay, this is one. So I get in the, I'm sitting in the car. He gets out, he goes in, he talks, he comes back. And I said, "Well, what's going on?" He says, "Well, my frat brother, he's the manager. So we at the movies on a hookup." Okay, to get the hookup to go into the movies. Okay, so that's one strike. So while we're sitting there waiting for this hookup, he said.
And hold it. Strike two is the fact that he told it.
You know right. Exactly.
Hello.
Don't tell.
He could have made it seem like I was VIP.
Right, right.
The owner of the theater has come out to meet us personally.
Mr. Cinemark.
Oh,
right?
My goodness.
Anyway, so, so we're sitting there in the car, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, me and my kids, we just went and took some family pictures." And I said, "Okay." He's like, "You want to see them?" I said, "Sure." Mm-hmm. You know, and already in my mind, she already told me he had 5 kids, mm-hmm. right? So he pulls out this picture. It was 11x17. Okay? 11x17 photo.
He went to Sears or Penny's.
Okay? So I'm like, "Oh, so these are your kids?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I said, "Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You said 5, 8, 9
kids? He's like, "Yeah." I said.
That was his way of telling you.
I said, "Were you ever married?" Well, the 2 oldest that are in the 20s, that's marriage the kids by his wife.
Right.
The others had all different mothers. He was 50 at the time. I wasn't 50 at the time. This has been about 4 or 5 years ago. He was 50. I said, oh, so how old is the youngest one? 6. So you mean to tell me at 44, you still out there just flinging?
Oh, girl, just, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
And so when she says responsibility, that is the utmost irresponsible person. And then admitted, oh, well, yeah, because I generally date, you know, younger women. And, you know, and of course, most of all, this brood is biracial. Okay? And so he's like, generally... date younger women, and I thought this one, the 6-year-old, was it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, well, what made her it? Well, because, you know, I thought that, you know, we were getting along really well, and then, you know, she started wanting to date somebody else. Because you're like 100. What?
But I, let me, and let's bring this back around to what we were talking about early on. In that situation, you then make that decision.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
Because
right.
There's always going to be people, which obviously you did, but there's always going to be people, you know, men who say, who do, who whatever. Mm-hmm. But what, as women, what we have to do is recognize what it is,
mm-hmm.
and walk away from it.
That's
and
right.
I think when you have a plan and you understand what you have to do to achieve that plan and then what will derail that, and mm-hmm. almost always children will derail it. And a dude will derail it. Because even if you, let's say you decide to get married. Let's say you're 20 and you get married. There's still an expectation because at 20 years old, you're kind of playing house. So you're going to be the one that you want to cook and the clean and the this and the that and all these things. And not that dudes don't help out, but that's too young. And I think that one of the things that we as black people don't do, we don't have a collective plan. You don't hear about Jews talking about their kids having kids just crazy. Or you don't hear, and not to say that they don't do it, mm-hmm. but there is an expectation for them. There is an expectation. There is a plan in place for them. So what we have to do, and basically what happens is, like I was saying before, everybody's not going to make it. If we as, if right now today, black men and black women decided, hey, you know what? We're going to put this plan in place. We're not going to have kids until we are 28 years old. That way you have enough free time where you fucking around with whoever you fucking around with, you partying, you doing whatever it is that you are doing, and you go through that phase in your life and you come out of it on the other side where you are better able to pick a mate. And the thing is, too, when you have children and you're really young, it kind of stifles your growth, your emotional development, unless you have a really, really good structure, a really good system around you to help you, it stifles your growth. So again, you potentially end up the old lady in the club with the mini skirt on. Mm-hmm. So I think until we come up with a plan and while we are instituting this plan, simultaneously, there's several things we have to do. One, as people, we have got to look at ourselves, acknowledge what our hurt is, and then work through that and then deal with each other. But particularly with men, I would really love to get together a group of men, black men and black women, mm-hmm. and for them to apologize. You know what I mean? Even if you didn't do anything to that person specifically, sometimes as a woman, I think that women need to just hear, or people need to hear, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't do that. But for the dude who took you for granted, who used you, who lied to you, who did whatever he did, I want to say I'm sorry. And then you apologize, because that frees you from the weight of whatever that is, whether it's guilt, anger, shame, hurt, frustration. It will free you from that. But I don't think that we move forward until we say, okay, you know what? We're sorry.
So the women too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there are things that a lot of times that mothers have done to sons that they did not intentionally do. Mm-hmm. Or their concept of what it is to be a man
right.
has been, oh, well, you know what? When you do such and such and then you hit your kid and tell, oh, don't cry, because men don't cry. Boys don't cry. There's things that mothers give to sons a lot of times and don't realize it, in an effort to prepare mm-hmm. them, they feel like, for the world. You know, or, they're preparing them. So when you go out into this world and these people come at you, I don't want you to be victimized by them, or to be separate or pulled aside, set aside mm-hmm. by them, which is probably going to happen anyway, but they want to minimize it. But what that does, in fact, is it shuts your kid off emotionally.
Or when a mother would say, when the kid knowingly did something bad. oh, you just like your daddy.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You just like your daddy. You know, so now they've already put that stigma that this known bad thing is relative to to your daddy.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that as women that we do, and it comes out of the hurt of what happened with us and that relationship. Mm-hmm. Whether it is we had an expectation, he never lied to us, which to me, well, let me say he didn't overtly lie, because I think that if you know that someone likes you and you let them go on with things and you don't stop them when you know you don't feel the same way, that to me is a lie. That is the highest form of dishonesty to me, because you're taking advantage. Mm-hmm. You know, so if a woman goes into a situation and she likes this dude, but he never stops her, he never says anything to her, and then he bounces on her, or he says, well, you did that, I didn't ask you for it. So then she is then hurt, but you got a kid out of this deal. And out of that pain springs, you just like your daddy. Mm-hmm. You look like your daddy. You acting like your daddy. Your daddy ain't shit. Your daddy wasn't nothing. That is something that as women we do, but we do it because it comes out of pain, mm-hmm. out of disappointment. So what we want, what we have to do is get together. Like I said, if you can get a group of women and a group of men together, and everybody can kind of open up and talk about whatever their issue is, because there is something to being vulnerable. There is something to trusting that what you say, people are not going to laugh at you. You will not be shunned. You are not going to be treated less than. When that happens and you are able to be vulnerable, you move past that. You know, you get past it, mm-hmm. and you kind of move forward. And because you have some women that are going to say, they're just going to be angry, because some, not even women, but people in general, when you're mad, you just want to be mad. That's me. When I'm pissed off about something, do not talk to me. Don't try to make me feel better. Get the hell away from me. I will be fine. Just leave me alone. But there are some people that when they are in that place, when they are angry, they will be angry for the next 30 years. And there's nothing that you can say that is going to make them move away from it, because somehow maybe they feel like they are a victim. They don't have to own whatever has gone on, whether they did anything wrong or not. They are there. Those people, you're not going to save. Mm-hmm. Not until they get ready to move and do something differently. So if you get a group of people that are together and they say, okay, you know what, this is my deal. You know, my mom said or did whatever, and there is no judgment. Everybody's just there, and you are talking. There's no judgment.
Right.
And you go on, you open it up.
Group therapy.
It is.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly. Group therapy. Now, that in itself would take a lot of maturity, because you have to be able to say to yourself, I want better than this.
Right, and something's wrong.
And because of that, I'm going to go out and do what it is I have to do to get it.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that there are a lot of people, there are more people willing to do that than people think. I think that there are more people.
It would take a lot more time, mm-hmm. for that. Let me put it that way.
Right, absolutely. But even if it's, okay, you know, we meet once a month or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? If it's that type of deal. But there are a lot of people who realize that they are in a place where they're not moved, they're not progressing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That emotionally, that spiritually, they are stuck.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And they acknowledge that, and they may not know what to do, mm-hmm. or particularly what to do or how to do by themselves. But if you get a group of people together and you say, okay, well, listen, this is how this is going to go, and we kind of work it out together.
Right.
You do it together. Mm-hmm. Because who really knows? Because obviously it's therapeutic, but it's not anything that's done by somebody that's licensed. You just kind of go in and say whatever you say.
Right.
Okay, and this is how I feel. And then you process through it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you go on. But when you unblock that thing, then you get better. Because if the mother comes in there and say she realizes, you know what, I hurt my son because I said these things and I feel really badly about this. Mm-hmm. When she can let that go. Okay, then maybe you need to bring your son. Or even if you don't bring your son, maybe you just need to tell your son, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I am a human being. I was caught up in this emotionally, because depending on how old your children are, children know their parents are people.
Mm-hmm.
You know your parents are human. You know that maybe your daddy ran game, or your mama got pregnant on purpose to trap you. Everybody knows. And if they don't know, they should. That's for damn sure. And just get past it. Because with each step, there is a new freedom that comes when you realize, okay, you know what? I kind of complain about what white people do, but I'm kind of doing this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
We play a big part in it. Yeah.
A huge one.
That's right.
A huge one. Mm-hmm. And that's what I tell people. If white people don't make you have unprotected sex and have a kid, because mm-hmm. that does more damage to your future than whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm.
So let me say this. Let me go back to the moms and the sons. Okay, because I have a son. Mm-hmm. And I heard this comment, and I had to own up to maybe something that I even thought about telling my own child, that as black women, or I don't know if this is as women in general, we tell our sons, oh, you sure you want to settle down so early? You know, maybe date around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we wonder why that is true, men
I've had that conversation date with my son.
And they want to have more than one woman. Well, who did it start with? That's because the mother was feeling like you're going to settle down so early. And why don't you wait? You know, don't be serious so early.
Absolutely. Self-examination.
So there you go, right there.
Mm-hmm. Self-examination.
Yeah, and I had to think about that myself mm-hmm. with my son getting ready to get married. You know, maybe at one time I thought, well, you know, aren't you too young? Well, no, if that's what he wants to do, let him set his own example of his life. And if Absolutely. He wants to settle down, let him settle down. But no, we say, well, it's too early. Let's, you know, date around a little bit. And then we wonder why they're players.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, you have to look at yourself. You know, it had to start somewhere.
Well, as long as he's not doing it before he finishes college.
Right. But again, you know, that's that thing. That's that plan that you put
that
in
place.
That is
the plan.
My thing is, I would say, I don't say that necessarily about marriage. I think that I would say finish college, absolutely. But if you want to get married at 25,
mm-hmm.
okay, get married at 25. Right. Because if the marriage doesn't work out, for whatever reason, you get
young.
A divorce mm-hmm. and you go on. But you're not dragging children into this.
Exactly.
Children are my big thing because that, especially with women, is the thing that keeps us cyclically in poverty. You don't go out and do the things that you do to further your career, start a career,
mm-hmm.
further your career because you have children.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a kid at 19. So
right.
you doing stuff that you wouldn't otherwise be doing had you waited. So, and with men, as I said last week, what happens with men is men will turn around and they have a kid and they kind of feel like they're getting off light because I could, you know what, if y'all not married, you see the kid when you see him or you maybe pay child support, maybe you don't. But eventually, you come to a point where you got to look at this kid or you realize there's a kid in the world that you didn't take care of.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So everything is going to be that the bill is going to come due for everything.
That's right.
The bill is going to come due for everything. You either going to pay it mm-hmm. or you're going to be in the back washing dishes for all of eternity. But the bill is coming due.
That's right.
So I think just as women, as we were saying, you look at what you do in terms of like, because you guys have children, mm-hmm. our thing is a little different, but you look at what you do, how you contribute to this,
right.
how you make a difference between your sons and your daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, years and years and years, probably 25 years ago, reading an article in Essence that said that black mothers raise their daughters and love their sons.
That's so true. That is so true.
Say that again.
So black mothers raise their daughters but love their sons.
Wow.
You know?
I think that's a very true statement.
Well, you know what? I'll say this to that statement. From experience, well, and young girls are usually more mature than the boy or
mm-hmm,
sons.
Mm-hmm.
So you worry less about women, especially, and I've got twins, so I don't worry a lot about my girls, but it's that boy that, and especially if there's no other sons and he's the only one, you're going to worry more. I don't know if you necessarily love him more than you do with your daughters, but.
Is the expectation the same, though? Because I think the article was basically saying that we teach girls, you know, you go to college, you finish high school, you go to college,
mm-hmm.
you get your degree, you
mm-hmm.
da-da-da-da-da-da, you lay these things out.
Mm-hmm.
Because we as women understand having had to live life without a man
mm-hmm.
or with men being in and out or not doing the things that they're supposed to do, we teach our daughters to be self-sufficient where we don't necessarily teach our sons those things.
Well, from personal experience, I do. I expect the same out of all of my kids. Nurture them all the same. You know, when girls are different, but if I'm going to push the I'm proud button, it goes for all three. Boys may act like they don't need it, but they need it.
Oh,
they
yeah.
need it just
they
like the girls do.
It.
And you
they
have to give them that because when you don't, you assume that they're just still the strong, but they need the exact same nurturing.
Yeah, I don't know if the expectation is the same.
I would agree with you, Brianna,
yeah.
and I hate to use myself as an
example
again, but I just think about the way that I was reared. my sister and I were reared to be independent. I mean, I can remember being little and my mama say, here, go in there and pay that light bill. You know, I don't recall that happening to my brother. My brother is actually the oldest out of the three of us. But I can remember my sister and I being given more responsibility, more chores.
Wait a second, though.
More
Mary.
Things to do than...
Mickey's hearing impaired, correct?
And?
I'm just asking a question, too.
No, I'm just saying, even though he is hearing impaired, that's not a handicap where he can't do anything. He can talk.
Do you think maybe that's why your mom kind of felt that way?
I think to a large degree it did. But it still had to do with he's her firstborn. He's a boy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, because she taught us all to do the same things. Don't get me wrong. But she put more responsibility on my sister and I. And she expected more out of my sister and
I. You know what, though? And I will tell you. And this is what I think that is. I think that is generational.
Yeah.
Because what I think what mothers... What women were expected to do in our mother's generation is a little different than what we're doing. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course.
Because we've kind of evolved a bit. Mm-hmm. So that whole, well, you know what, you need to learn how to cook and you need to, well, that's fine. I know how to cook because I like to eat. So that's whatever. But I have a girlfriend who she can cook, I guess, but her husband cooks because he likes to cook. That's his thing. But I think it has our mothers. Unless they were really advanced for their generation, teach us what they knew to teach us.
That's right.
That mother, this is what women do, and a lot of the responsibility was on women. So I think we're at a place now where we're transitioning into, you know, you have some daughters who are like, well, wait a minute, why ain't he doing this? He can do this, you know, but we're at that place where it's kind of misfiring because you may get a woman who understands, who knows how to do these things, who's gone to college, who works, who makes good money, who this, and she's looking for a dude. But then you got a dude who has been raised in a totally different family, hopefully, that is like, who, you know, he may feel like, okay, well, you know, in my household, my mother cooked. My mother did the cleaning. My mother did the whatever. So that may be his expectation, even if that expectation is not good for that part, for that
not
that
realistic
woman.
For that situation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's so many different components. It's like putting together a 10,000 piece jigsaw puzzle and it's moving.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different components to this that you kind of got to get in and grab a hold to it and say, I'm putting this part together over here. And then Shalonda, you're doing this part. And Shanae, you got this part. And Miriam, you got this part. And maybe they're not right next to each other, but they're fairly close proximity. Mm-hmm. So as we put things together, eventually I can kind of see what this is, but I can tell that, okay, it's going to be this because I can see what Shalonda has. So I know they're close enough together that I can kind of see what this is going to be. You know what I mean? You're putting it together as a group. So then things start to come in. To focus. Whereas if you are there by yourself, you're doing it by yourself. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You just,
Okay.
We got 2 minutes. Y'all can have the last word.
Well, I say this. As far as women and men in the hurt conversation, you know, to me, honestly, you know, men, black men, they get a bad rap, period, you know, out in the world. And I think that as black women, we are all they have.
Right.
Honestly.
Right.
No matter what they do, we know it's coming from somewhere. It's coming from a hurt years ago or recently. But I do feel that in today's age, in the world we're in now, that we need to give away more passes.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'll give a and pass that's not if to you, make if it you trying.
That's right. That's right. At least meet me halfway. But like you said, consider the source, consider the hurt. They get enough of it out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying take crap from them. Right. I'm just saying be just a little bit more understanding and address it in a different way. So if we're calm and not so aggressive as we usually get that label, I think we might get a different result, period. That's my goal in life, period. You know, and I think they're deserving of it.
Well, I would kind of actually agree with Shalonda. I agree wholeheartedly, actually, with what you say, because I try to spend a lot of time with my son, giving him that space to be able to actually tell me things that 9 times out of 10 he Mm-hmm. Most kids probably wouldn't. But I try and give him an opportunity to say, you know, baby, I know you hurting. I know whatever. He recently broke up with his girlfriend. You know, of course, guys want to be all tough. And, of course, he's the big football player, so he's really trying to be tough. But I told him, I said, you know, you are the one that made this choice, first of all. You're the one that broke it off. And I understand that this was your choice, but understand that you have a free space here to be able to express that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to feel like you're a big, tough guy walking around with this bottled up. You know, if it's bothering you, you need to be able to say. And so he finally said to me, I thought that she was special. I really thought that she was going to be that special person for me. But he had found out for some friends that apparently she was trying to talk to some other guy or had talked. He doesn't know if she did or if she didn't. But just the idea of the possibility of it, he felt like he had to let her go.
Right.
So he let her go, but it hurt him. And to be able to express that hurt, I felt like he, because, you know, we girls, we would get on the phone, girl, I just got through breaking up with him. And he didn't, you know, we have somebody we can cry the blues to.
They really don't.
But young men, especially young men that are just trying to find themselves, he's trying to figure out what it means to be a man and what does masculinity mean. You know, I had to tell him, baby, you got that space, or at least let you know you have that space here with me. I don't know about your friends. I don't know if you have that space with them to be able to release, but you have that space here with me, and you need to know that. And for the next woman that you choose to be with,
there you go.
You need to know that she is also someone that you don't have to put a front up
there
for.
There you go.
You don't have to always be Mr. Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm going to fix it. You know, I'm going to do everything. You just give them that space. And I think, you know, like we were saying before, they'll be that man we think that they can be if we give them that opportunity.
Yeah, give away a few more passes.
You gonna be the dissenting voice here?
No, because the only thing that popped in my—well, I'm not gonna say the only thing. The one thing that popped in my mind is when you say he wasn't—he really didn't know for sure. He really didn't know for sure if she did this or that, but he heard with his friends. And the only thing that I would have said probably was, you know, there's some people that don't like to see you happy. So those friends that told you that and you have no proof, then, and I mean, you know, you may have been a little hasty unless you knew for sure to break it, especially if it makes you feel that way. Because they're those same friends that you think are road dogs and this, that, other, and they don't want to see you happy because they're not happy. You see what I'm saying? So that would probably be one thing, because we, you know, there's sometimes that, you know, the best girlfriend or the best guy friend that
finish up.
Oh, okay. That we have will, you know, they will sabotage you in a heartbeat. And yeah, I mean, the same one that's sitting there, girl, don't even put up with that, is making plans to meet up with your man
right now.
Tell me, girl, you ain't got to put up with him.
Okay.
All right.
Are we coming back in a month?
In a month.
Everybody get they do.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, let's bring the snacks. I bring some cupcakes.
Right? Cake tails. We got to go. We're going to talk about Shanae and cake tails later. Wednesday night, theafterparty.com on the B side, Bree TV, 6 to 8 p.m. Tell your friends about it live on Facebook. We are out. And throw them down.